Jolly is working. Boost up your immune system, Jolly is working. Yeah. Yo, Dominique, it's your boy Father Fox. Whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
It is indeed a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Dominica. It is Wednesday, the 14th of June, 2023, and it is a lovely day in paradise that we call Dominica. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. It is really a pleasure being here with you for yet another episode of Health Vibes. This one is promised to be one that's very interactive, one that will provoke a lot of discussion this morning. Let me say good morning to my beautiful co-host, Trudy Christian. Jacinta won't be first today.
Yes, Carlton, good morning. Good morning to all our listeners of Health Vibes. Good morning, Dominica. It is, as usual, a pleasure to be here with you for another episode of Health Vibes. It's a nice morning. It's a very hot morning already. And, you know, we're here as usual to bring the life and the energy to a health discussion right here on Q95.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So let's say special good morning to all the farmers, the bus drivers, the fisher folk, the NEP people who do an awesome job cleaning the roadways and the gullies, the people who clean the botanical gardens, they do an awesome job as well, to the masons and carpenters and builders, the mechanics, you know, all the blue-collared workers.
The security guards, you mentioned them? Yeah, I know.
As well.
Those
yeah.
at the Dominica State College always yes. locked on.
Yes, yes. You know, and sometimes, you know, we don't recognize these people. We think that the work that they do is mediocre, but I always say, can you imagine going to a business place and there is feces all over the place
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
the cleaner, there are no cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
Or whilst you're shopping, you see two large, you know, big rats running around. You know, you may just put that basket down right away
mm-hmm.
and walk
mm-hmm.
out.
Right.
You know,
right.
so these people are very, very important.
Of course.
We should never take them for granted. The sanitary engineers as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, who clean, make sure our garbage are picked up on time, and they do an awesome job too.
People just need to imagine a week or maybe just 3 or 4 days with no collection of garbage. Or if you work in a building that's regularly cleaned, imagine a week of no cleaning or no, you know, the trash not being taken away from that office.
Right.
What kind of situation would you be in?
Mm-hmm.
So the importance of all levels of employment and all levels of careers, you know, we have to always appreciate all levels. Everything works together for functioning either workplace or just society, you know?
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took my vehicle this morning to the mechanic to check on something, and he illustrated to me what he was going to do, and I felt I was almost in a biology class. But it's just that it's mechanical. And I looked at the man, and you know, the way that he explained to me what was happening and what he suspects is the issue and how he plans to repair it and so forth, I was just in awe, because you know, they have their own language.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you pop your bonnet and you're wondering, what is all this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
mm-hmm.
don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is somebody, and most of them are self-taught, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You know, here it is someone is so good at what they do. So we really have to recognize these people and to say kudos to you for working honestly and giving back whatever your expertise is that you give back to your community. This morning, Trudy, we are going to be having a special episode
commemorating
yes fathers. As
yes.
we know, this weekend is
Father's Day, the 18th.
Yes.
yes,
and we've always said that Health Vibes is a very holistic health show that deals not just with the medical, but the social, psychological, emotional, and spiritual well-being of all of us. And so we want to talk about the role, you know, what is the role of fatherhood in the family. Many of us would have maybe some not so good experiences, particularly from the Caribbean basin. Many of us would have had absentees in fatherhood where our fathers were not around. Some may have been in the house but still not been there emotionally and psychologically like maybe the presence of the mother. And we do have some fathers who did excellently in their role. And this morning we want to talk a little about it, but in terms as well, fatherhood, what is the whole purpose of, you know, a father being present in the family? What is he supposed to do? And what happens when that void is there? And how does it impact not just a child, but the entire family?
Family structure, yes.
So what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break. It is 10:25, and then we will actually explore this very social commentary topic as we discuss the role of the father in the family.
Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. JP Mega, the best family shopping experience.
I woke up this morning feeling real stink. I had the intentions to call in sick, but I end up in Jolly's pharmacy. Great and don't think I should. Jolly's fixed up my email system. Got me feeling fit and strong. Now I'm ready to work and take on any mission. If you see me again, Jolly's pharmacy is number one. Jolly's working. For everyone, Jolly's working. Boost up your immune system, Jolly's working. Yeah.
Yo, Dominic, it's the white father box. Whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Jump the line. Jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
I woke up this morning feeling real stink. I had the intentions to call in sick, but I end up in Jolly's Pharmacy.
Great and don't think I should. Jolly's fixed up my email system. Got me feeling fit and strong. Now I'm ready to work and take on any mission. If you see me again, Jolly's Pharmacy is number one. Jolly's working. For everyone, Jolly's working. Boost up your immune system, Jolly's working. Yeah.
Yo, Dominic, it's the white father box. Whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
So we're back with you. As we do know, Sunday is Father's Day, where fathers, the focus will be on fathers. You know, many times when that day comes around, it always comes with a twist of emotions. You know, there are many people who, you know, I've heard women say, well, I am the father. Mm-hmm. You know, I am the mother, I am the father. So I'm celebrating Father's Day as well. You know, and so you have the gender issue, you know, popping up. You have the issue where, you know, people say, well, Father's Day is no day. A man was saying that when it's Father's Day, all you see selling around is mangoes. And when it's Mother's Day, you see bouquets and all sorts of gifts. And gifts and perfumes and
all you see is mangoes, that's what
everything.
He said.
When it's Father's Day, all you see selling is mangoes
all
and
all I see is alcohol though, Carlton. Alcohol. which I have a serious issue with, but you know, the gift that people kind of promote for men is just the alcohol. You know, I have a serious issue with that. But yeah, you see the difference a lot of times in the Mother's Day versus Father's Day preparation and offering. And you know, it begs the question, you know, why is there that large difference or divide in the two? So, you know, we'll be discussing that today, you know, some of the reasons maybe why people behave that way. But it can be unfortunate though, because there are many good fathers, exceptional fathers who, you know, deserve the same sort of appreciation and so on that we would show the mothers on Mother's Day. And so, you know, it's sometimes unfortunate that there is that difference in how the 2 days are seen, you know.
But Trudy, I know that you've shared many times on the radio of losing your father at a very early age. Do you have any recollection of him?
I do. And it's strange. I think memories, they say, you know, you can start keeping memories from toddlerhood, and I do have memories. Sometimes too, the memories, I'm not sure. My father died when I was 5, by the way. I'm not sure if sometimes the memories are created because of pictures and because of stories too, because that is also a way that people kind of develop memories, is what other people show or tell them. But I think I have some of my own memories of my father. I remember my father being the one. He was sick throughout my life, when he, you know, the 5 years that he was a part of my life. But I remember him being the person I would run to if my mother was going to discipline me. So he was in, yes, you know, he had that role of, you know, look, my mother is my mother is going to give me a volley, so let me run to his bedside and see what he will offer, if he will take my side. You know, so even very young I had that you know, impression that he could protect. And I know, Carlton, that's one of the things you want to speak about in terms of fatherhood. But yeah, I do have fond memories of my father, and I do know that my father wanted a child. That was one something that he wanted, and he did have me before he died. I think, you know, he wanted to leave a legacy, and he was successful in doing so. So I always felt in my memories of him that he was, you know, a man who really was happy that he had a child and was trying to do what he could in his last days to ensure that, you know, his child had a good life.
So do you think, like, if you were present right now, what type of father you think he would have been still?
I think he would have been a very supportive father. I think he would have been a very engaged father if he had stayed alive. I believe, and from what his family, you know, like his brothers, my uncle Gabriel Christian would say about him, I think he would be that sort of father who would remain engaged and supportive even into adulthood, which is another thing, Carlton, we can discuss, you know, the length of time that fatherhood is fatherhood.
True.
You know, is it just the childhood phase? Is it the 18? Entire life?
Yes.
But I think he would have remained you know, very engaged and very supportive.
And that's a very good point that you've raised, because I mean, my mom is at the hospital right now, and I see, you know, she's on Glover Ward, and I see men, grown men, coming to take care of their mothers in their 80s and 70s. I know this gentleman just lost his mother, and it was really painful for him because he did a remarkable job caring for his mother on the ward until her passing. And this man could be my father. And to see how he nursed his mother and took such, you know, detail in literally pampering her while she was ill, that to me spoke volumes. Do we see similar for fathers? That's another question.
Right,
but for me, My experience with my biological father was one that was very inconsistent, and I will say that, inconsistent. Yes, I knew my father from a child. I grew up with my grandmother, who was my father's mother, and so I knew him. But in terms of did my father forged a deep relationship with me? No. So that was absent. However, even as an adult, I always longed and yearned for that tangible kinship tie. So it wasn't one that I negated or I totally swept underneath the carpet and did not bother with, but it was one that I really wanted. And when I felt that I had tried so much to foster that relationship, that kinship with my father, where it would seem that it was only my effort all the time and he wasn't reciprocating, then I made that decision to kind of protect my psyche, to protect my as we would say, your heart, you know, quote unquote. I felt it was best to just give him space and so forth. But innately, I always wanted that. And I as an adult now my father has passed, I recognize that it's a need that every child longs for, because you were not just born. You were born of two parents. And to know that one is a wrong but not a wrong, it's a void that you forever have in your life. And even as an adult, a male adult who had became a professional already, but yet still I had that void. And even that's why when my father died, and particularly where he died, it was really intensely painful for me, because I felt that there was absolutely no way of salvaging or repairing or getting back that opportunity to repair and to heal and to rebuild that relationship that was already fragmented. And I know that there are many people who are listening to us who are adults even now, and they may be crying in silence. They may display certain personality traits that may not even be endemically who they are, but because of the pain, the anger, the you know, all of the neglect and all of that, they display this. And some of them have not even been able to have wholesome relationships because of that fragmentation from their fathers or with their fathers.
And Carlton, sometimes people don't, like, if you don't really go into how the mind works and you have never really, you know, paid attention so much, you don't understand how certain things affect how you behave and, you know, the choices you make later on, how you relate to others, how you handle certain situations. All of these things are impacted by your developmental stages. And as we're speaking of fathers, the void that can be felt when a father is absent, by absent by choice or absent through death, you know, the void is something that people, if it's not correctly dealt with, or if it's not if you don't deal with it, can lead you to have some very poor outcomes.
That's true.
In your adulthood. So I remember, and we spoke about this too before, like in me going through therapy as an adult, as an adult going through therapy, my therapist uncovered, I would say, this void that I felt when my father died, that I had never grieved properly. And I know we had the psychiatrist, Dr. Wallace, here last week, and she mentioned if a parent dies before the age of 12, that this is one of the critical triggers that could, you know, lead to mental health issues in the future. So that needs to be dealt with. So I found out that I had not properly grieved or dealt with it. I mean, back in those days, a parent dies and you just figure, child will just get over it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Would hoover you,
yes,
and do the best,
yes,
almost acting proxy
for, right, the father, for the father, but yes, mm-hmm, but not going through the loss process properly. Mm-hmm. So I had to actually go through a grieving process as an, like, we had to do activities,
wow,
to grieve.
Wow.
And I had to go through that. And I found out that, you know, a lot of my choices and what I was doing, I was looking for the father protection that I had lost, mm, when my father died. So, you know, as you mentioned, there are some behaviors that or personality traits that people may display that are because of the absence of, in this case, we're talking about fathers. So, you know, the absence of a father.
What you've shared there is very, very deep, because what it says to me is that the need again for therapy, because, mm-hmm, you may have a family that is now, you know, divorced, you know, mother, father, they separate. Mm-hmm. Children now are dispersed. So they say, well, okay, I'm go with your daddy or go with your mother. And we never really wonder how this impacts the child. Mm-hmm. We just assume, mm-hmm, well, okay, life goes on. I'm going to take care of you. You'll be protected. But how does that child internalize,
right,
all of that? The very same thing with migration.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a family member, a father or mother migrate,
mm-hmm,
and say they go for greener pastures.
And that's common here in our society. Right. Yes.
Yes, they may send a shoe, they may send the money, they, mm-hmm, may send a burial, but that person is not present.
Right.
You understand? And the very same thing is applicable to death. You know, so the need for therapy, the need for really observing the behaviors of the people that's involved, whether it's an adult, whether it involves children. Because even for me, I remembered when I did therapy too,
mm-hmm,
when I went for therapy many years ago, and I lived away, and, you know, the psychologist looked at me, and, you know, we were dissecting some things, and the psychologist said to me that, use the word abandoned, you know, like you were abandoned by your father. And as smart as I think I am, I know what the word abandoned means,
mm-hmm,
but that felt like a rock was just slammed into my forehead and I fell to the floor. And truly, I can tell you that I may have cried for 2 hours or so straight in that office and couldn't stop, because inertly I may have felt it, but never literally, never really declared it. Oh, mm-hmm, you know, it was abstract. So even if I'm feeling, well, you know, I'm running after this person, trying to forge a relationship with them, and every time, you know, it's either they change their number or that type of thing on me, and I didn't understand why this was happening. And he basically said, this is abandonment. And I just could not. And I was an adult. I was already working as a pharmacist, doing well. And then here it is, you hit with this. So I do know that there are many people who are experiencing these emotions. Many people who may be experiencing dynamism issues in their relationship, wondering why are they so angry, why do they have difficulty forgiving, why do they like to be alone. Some people, they just choose to don't trust nobody, and people make those statements, I don't trust nobody,
mm-hmm,
you know, I only trust myself, you know. And these types of assertions, at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, where is this coming from? Where is all of this negative energy coming from? Yes, we might be, somebody might say we're censoring on the maybe the bad aspects of fatherhood and the lacks thereof. But we do know that they are great fathers. I mean, I can say boldly that I am a super dad, and I love the role of being a father. I mean, my daughter will go on the top of the mountain, my children will go on the top of the mountain and see that I'm a good father, because of what I did not receive, I made that tangible pronouncement that I will never be that I did not have. And I will always strive to be the best. And I say to my children every day, I do not want you to remember the gifts that I would have given to you on Christmas or your birthday. All I want you to say is that my dad always, you know, encouraged us to be the best version of ourselves. And that would be the best gift that you would have given to me. Not the material things that I had to provide, which is one of my mandates, which is a must in fatherhood, to be a provider. But not just the materialism, the material things. What are you providing for that child emotionally, psychologically? When last did you sit? Did you take that child or the children, you and the children alone as a father, and say, let's go for a drive, let's go for ice cream, let's go to the beach? Have a conversation with that teenage daughter that you have, with that teenage son that you have, about life. What are they experiencing? Have they met somebody that they like? How are you dealing with all of that emotions? And these are things that are very, very important to me as a father, to develop my child from a holistic standpoint. I try to always teach them how to respect others. You may not always agree with someone. You may not agree with their lifestyle or some of the decisions that they make. However, that does not mean you have to disrespect them. So always respect people. That's one of the fundamentals that I've taught my children. How to be sensitive to others. You know, that doesn't mean you have to go and hug the vagrant on the street. But you can show empathy.
Yeah.
And still treat that person. Even if the person passes by you, yes, you may not like the smell, but do you openly snort out your nose and say, Mr. Smelling, you know? But rather, okay, he's not smelling very well, but still treat him humanely.
A human being.
So these are the things that are very, very important to me. And sometimes you recognize how your children manifest themselves. And it's a true reflection of the environment, the qualities that are preached. What are the foundations that they learn at home? And these foundations must be visual. They must be tangible, that the child can feel it and know it. So I have always said to my children, there is no secret. Like we have an open door policy in our house. All bedrooms are never locked, right? So a child can walk through freely. The very same thing is applicable. I want you to trust me to the point where you feel you can tell me anything without I judging you. It doesn't mean that I may not get angry, but how do I contain myself so that I can create the environment so that you can even pour out your soul more to me? And if it means that I cannot deal with it, but I can find the interventions that are around me that I can tap into, I will do so.
Right.
But the aim is, you can trust me. And that is one of the things that many parents lack, that trust. And my mother, I must say, she has done an awesome job in that, making sure that, you know, she created the right environment that we could have told her anything and know that it is classified. The very same thing should be applicable to us as fathers. That our children should not see that we're judging them by the way we look at them, or by our deportment or demeanor, the way we, you know. So if it's something that you may need practice, or you may need training in, it is good to ask somebody that, you know, how do I deal with this situation? That type of thing.
Yeah, and I there should be mentorship for men, and that's, I think, you know, men shouldn't be afraid to seek a mentor. People I think feel like parenting is something that can just, it's supposed to be a natural thing that everybody will just get because they have a biological child. But really and truly, people people can receive mentorship to improve the way that they execute this task of parenting, parenting being the most, to me, important job that you can have. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, as a man, maybe a young father, you're new to the job, mm-hmm. but there are more experienced fathers that you look up to. If you yourself maybe did not have a father that you can seek advice from, but there are men in the community that, you know, you see as excellent fathers, you can seek mentorship from them. And these men too should not be afraid or should not be reluctant to provide that sort of mentorship for a young father, because it's really some of the things, Carlton, you're speaking about, these are things that people have to learn. Mm-hmm. These are not things that might just be natural. Sure. Natural to you. So it's a good idea for people to, you know, be willing to accept advice, mentorship from good role models, you mm-hmm. know, and I think we need more of that male mentorship in our society. People always say to me, women's health advocate, people always say, sometimes my male friends, what is there for the men, you know, who is advocating for men? And it's not a role that I've picked up for myself as a men's health advocate, but I think it's definitely worthwhile, you know, to engage men more in mentorship, in, you know, learning, because all of these things to contribute, Carlton, you mentioned earlier, not just to the relationship between one person and their child or children, but the whole family structure. Mm-hmm. And the whole family structure then leads to the whole community structure. Mm-hmm. And therefore the strength of the whole country. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So it's not a small thing. Mm-hmm. It's a building block to a much bigger picture, you know, this type of positive father relationship that we're speaking about.
And I really like that, because, you know, I am smiling because of how I really display my role. At my home, for example, at least once a month, we sit together, and I will normally the one coordinated, and I ask each child, and including my wife, you know, what are you grateful for? You know, what did you accomplish this month? What could you have done better? So it's a way where we collectively have discussion. And my little one, the youngest, Zane is, no, she just turned 8 this week. You'll be amazed the things that Zane will say, you know, that she's grateful for. Zane will, and it displays, if not school, Zane is one of the children that will actually go and sit in the principal's office for 15 minutes, 10 minutes and have a conversation, and that the principal is just, ooh, because I have taught my children to be expressive. Mm-hmm. But to curtail and to guide the discourse. So it's in being expressive doesn't mean that you're going to be intrusive and you're going to be rude and you're going to just think you can say what you want. It has to be, the content has to be good. And I think these are things that I really like, the point that you brought on about mentorship. That is very important, because it's not just about parading, because a lot of people do that, parade a child with fancy clothes, you know. Mm-hmm. I parade the child with Brad, Adidas, or Nike, clothing.
Yeah, and the expensive
you
stuff.
You see this child like a man or like a madam, and photos. But what values are you really depositing in that child? And that is the thing, that this is the fundamentals that we have to be very mindful of. Good morning to you, caller. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Carlton.
Good morning to you.
How are you?
I am doing well.
I like the topic you have, yes, sir. Father, not easy. Let me tell you, Carlton. I don't know. I believe, that's my belief. Most fathers today, all they do is, I will say, sperm donors. But you see, this love and to care for children and to bring them up in the right way. For example, I'll give you a very good example that's going to happen during the course of this month or next month. You will see them appearing at the graduation or the closing ceremony, especially, Carlton, if their children have to receive prizes. Mm-hmm. And you don't see them again for the rest of the school year. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the teacher. You're supposed to be able to guide your children through the journey. You understand? It's not only because they do well at school. They need you in sports, in whatever activities they take in. I understand? And as you mentioned, Carlton, once a month you sit with your children and talk. There might be problems that they're going through and they want to talk to you about. So I think this kind of thing is not only... I'm hearing more advertisements about giving gifts and so on, but nobody's talking about the welfare of the child. That is what I want to hear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, too. You know, but truly, we wanted to really explore some... Okay, we have another caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Mr. Carlton.
Good morning to you.
Is Jessin here?
No, Trudy here.
Trudy, okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I like that vibe.
Thank you.
The talk, it is encouraging. I mean, I raised two children by myself, and it wasn't easy. Even when to get maintenance for them, the kind of hardship, the kind of words I would get from the fathers. But that did not defer me. I worked hard. I helped my children the best I could. I could not give them everything, but whatever I could, I give them. And I am happy today that my children is still around. And maybe because the love I gave them without a father, they are turning back to me today. So I am grateful. But Carlton, it is not easy to raise a child without a father, especially when you do not have a permanent job.
Yeah.
And another thing I want to put out there, the fathers and them, the parents and them, take to court to support their children. When they have the money to pay the money, because you are not hurting the mother, you are hurting the child. Because when that mother get up in the morning and she do not have anything to give that child, and you, the father, working, and you have the money to pay, and you not paying the money, believing you hurting the mother. I tell you, in the long run, whatever we sow, that is what we will reap.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. Thank you. So, you know, there was a sermon that I listened to a couple of years ago that stayed with me practically for all this time. It was a sermon that was preached by Reverend T.T. Jakes, and he outlined the five P's of fatherhood. And I want to share that with us because I felt that they were really, really profound. And again, it's on YouTube, so you can, you know, you can pop it up on YouTube, the five P's of fatherhood from Reverend T.T. Jakes. And the first thing that he said, every father must do, is not should do, but must do, is to be a provider. You have to provide for your family. You have to provide for your children. That child wasn't asked to be born. That child didn't just appear. You know, you had that fun. I don't think of anybody having sex with an angry face. You know, that is the time, you know, we laugh the most and we joyous and we having fun and we saying, we calling each other the nicest of names.
Carlton, even if it wasn't too fun, it was your choice.
That's it.
It was your choice. Right? You know what I mean?
Unless you've been ripped and you're angry and, you know. But if you are in a committed relationship and you were having sex,
right,
and a child came, you were having a nice time.
Right.
So when the nice time is, you know, has produced a bundle of what we would say joy, after the 9 months, why are you not providing?
Right.
You have to provide. And we know that the three basic needs are food, clothing, and shelter. Right? The three basic needs. But you need to... Can you imagine what it's like the first 3 months of a single mother at home with a baby? Particularly, let's say she has had a C-section. And she lives alone with a baby. The baby gets up how many times in a day? Baby has to be fed. The baby has to be clothed. The mother herself needs rest. She may still have to do chores. She has to go to fetch things, you know.
Whatever, she has to do her errands, and it's a time of, you know, extreme sleep deprivation for new she parents.
Might still,
yeah,
she might, let's say she is suffering with a bit of
postpartum depression. Yeah. But Carlton, something I as on the point of providing, oftentimes if some people have this mentality, like if they cannot do very, very well in terms of providing, and we're talking here maybe actual tangible providing, mm-hmm. You know, that they will do nothing. But I wanted to say at this junction, you know, it provide how you can in the best way that you can, mm-hmm. you know. So it's not, boy, I cannot, you know, I cannot
so you
give
cannot
the
give a
name
driver.
Brand thing, or right. I cannot give the, you know, the fancy things. Mm-hmm. So boy, best I just stay away and just not do. No. Mm-hmm. I think it is much more appreciated, you know, by any reasonable mother, that you do what you can mm-hmm. for that child. Mm-hmm. You know, if what your abilities are, you do that. You don't abstain from providing because somebody else maybe provides fancier things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what you have is not much. So you just, you know, I'm not giving it. Nah, you do the best that you can, you know, in good faith.
I like that. It's almost mm-hmm. like bringing me back to savings. Mm-hmm. You know, you're waiting for when you have $500
yes,
to save.
Right,
and
right,
you
right.
You have had $500 pass in your hands in many ways, maybe more than multiple $500.
Exactly.
And you never save.
You never
because
save.
You feel like you
you're waiting for the big bulo.
Yes.
Right.
So the
right.
very same thing is applicable yeah. right here. You know, sometimes just again, spending time, you know, with that child, letting the child come and spend the weekend at your home,
mm-hmm.
and bonding with that child, washing that child clothes, you know, knowing the child's teacher, collecting the child at school, you know, going to a PTA meeting, you know, these things. How so we need to be providers. The second one, protector.
Mm-hmm.
You know, protecting your child. I'll give you a joke, Judy. My daughter has a lot of hair, as you know. And usually, let's say I am out, or my daughter hears the vehicle. I've arrived home. Her mother is coming here. When her mother is coming here, she's always crying. Let's say I'm opening the door, she will cry louder. She will cry louder. You know, so I will ask, you know, what's happening? You know, why is she crying like that? You know, and I will say it with a serious tone. And it's like, okay, my dad is here.
Right.
You know, and that's how children are. You did the same thing
yes,
you were saying.
Yes,
you
yes.
know, and because children, they see us as really the big one. You know, I will tell my daddy on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear like a children say that. I will tell my daddy on you, you know, and they make these complaints. And they expect you to protect them,
right.
not hurt them.
Right.
So when we hear of, you know, people abusing children, and, you know, recently, I don't know if you heard the bad news that happened in Jamaica last weekend, where this little girl was abducted from school, and her neck was slashed and thrown out of a vehicle, an eight-year-old girl.
Oh, wow.
She died 2 days after at the hospital. And it is really now invoking a lot of talk among government officials in terms of making adjustments to the laws of Jamaica, whereby once a child, they're now thinking of once a child has been murdered, first degree murder, you will more than likely get the death penalty. Because this is becoming really, really serious. And so when you hear these things where our children are no longer protected by us as adults, that says a lot mm-hmm. about what's happening mm-hmm. in our society. So as parents, as fathers, we ought to protect our
right.
children.
I think protection is a big role of a father. You're definitely right. But I think it is a role that some people misconstrue. So some people, not some, it's a very common thing. The protection thing is a thing about being bad and fighting.
Yes.
So if you see anybody, watch my daughter, mm-hmm. I have my cutlass there. Mm-hmm. And if anybody talk to my daughter, I have my gun. And so now, by the way, is counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the children now are in fear mm-hmm. of telling the father something
yes.
because they don't want the father to get into some sort of altercation with somebody and end up in jail or end mm-hmm. up, you know. So the children are very aware that if you have this type of volatile reaction to everything in your effort to protect, that you can get in trouble. So they kind of start to withhold mm-hmm. information from you. So it's counterproductive. So I wanted to say, when we talk about protect, it's not just protect in terms of your ability as a man to fight mm-hmm. and your ability,
alpha.
Right?
Yeah.
It's your ability to make certain decisions mm-hmm. to position, you know, the child in a way that will not expose the child to mm-hmm. certain things that are destructive. You know, so your protective nature is not just about fighting when something bad happens. It's so, is you know, is my child, am I allowing my child to, you know, go places alone, or am I allowing my child to, you know, not have the necessary supervision, you know, not so the protection has to be about more than or not just fighting or dealing with people mm-hmm. if they do something wrong to your child. It has to be about making decisions in the best interest of that child's emotional well-being, you know, physical well-being. That is also how you protect. You know, it's not a badge and thing alone. And I hear too many men with just that mentality, the fighting mentality. Yes, you also want a protector that if mm-hmm. if somebody does wrong, you know, the father will protect. Mm-hmm. But it's not just about that.
Mm-hmm. And I like that point again, because what it encapsulates is emotional intelligence.
Oh yes. Oh, and that
know,
is a
because
big
it's like and we've seen
thing.
Cases like that, where parents barging into the school
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to hear nothing.
Right, it's fight, they come to fight.
Or assault a teacher, you know, that type of thing, because of what was said to them or what they heard. And there is no negotiation, there is no dialogue. And at the end of the day, what example are you to that child? Because you're going to say to that child that violence is the way to solve
all problems.
Issues.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody hits you, you bash them with a stone in their face. Somebody curse you, you curse them back. And then you are creating a monster
mm-hmm.
right at your home. So mm-hmm. tomorrow now, that child curses you, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you decide you're going to discipline that child, and the child say, "But mommy, that's what you, daddy, that's what your mommy, that's what you said to me," and you're shocked now. And then you say, "Oh, it wasn't for me. I didn't say that for you to tell me that. That is for other people.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be selective." And so that's where, even as a parent, and that's why you mentioned the coaching aspect and the mentorship aspect, emotional intelligence. How do you listen, pay attention, and have fruitful dialogue, you know, with these things? Because this is something that I had to teach my wife about too, because
mm-hmm.
I am more the type that will be objective and rationalize things before I make a decision or even before I comment on it. She would be more emotional than I am. You know, so it's the point that you've raised about protector is not one that is going to antagonize
mm-hmm.
or fuel the situation, but one that will try to bring harmony.
Mm-hmm.
That at the end of the day, we will have a consensus and peace will reign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Peace will reign. The third one he mentioned was being present.
Boy, and Carlton, I think like that is out of the five you have. To me, this is the critical one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one that I think too many people fail at.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people just being present. I mean, people may be listening to me on the radio and they're saying, well, Carlton is a father. Trudy is talking, but what is she talking? Like, from what expertise level is she talking? I've been an educator now for 20 years. Mm. Started at 18. And Carlton, presence of fathers is something that I have always wished to see more of in my students and in their lives, in what I see. When I see present fathers, present mothers as well, you can see the difference in the child. You, as an educator who is always involved in developmental activities for children, people know that I'm very involved in debating. I'm debate coach and whatever. And sometimes you have things where the children have to be, you know, they have to perform, they have to debate, or they have to this, whatever it is. And there is no parent in that audience. Carlton, these things have struck me over the course of my career as being so, so poor. Just having the presence of the parents gives these children so much more confidence, so much more motivation. Like, I mean, it changes the dynamic completely. And it's been too often that I see children not getting that. You know, it can be for a little thing, it can be for a big thing, but the presence of the parent, and now we're talking about fathers in particular, is critical. It's really critical. The child has to know you are there. Come hell or high water, ooh-la, you know, you're there. And that is very, very important.
I really like that. I remembered in March, you know, it speaks up again of, you know, my tangible presence with my children. In March, I had gone out for a week, and my daughter's school had had an invitation for fathers to come to the school and read. And we were out, and I did not know of it prior. And my daughter cried that her father wasn't at school to read. And a very good, one of her best friend, father, who is also a friend, read on my behalf. And my daughter, yes, she was okay. He did say he's going to read on my behalf, but she just wished her father was there. And that's an example of what you say. You know, and she is just in grade two. But she knows that for a fact that her father would definitely have embarked on that and would have been excited
to come
to come and make that presentation.
Make the effort.
And so think of the many children who may have been in that same situation and their father were not there. They saw all their friends' fathers
came and
read, and their fathers were not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the presence of us, that is very, very important. You know, just sometimes my daughter put goofy things, and I will speak of her a lot because she's more, my son will come and he'll rub my head and stuff like that. Every day when I come to the house, he will be the one to come in the room and tell me what happened at school. That is, he's a teenager now, so he's getting into his, you know. But we have very, very, very good rapport. But Zane is the emotional one. So she will be the one that will ride on my back. She will put things on my head and make mockery out of me and take out photos, that type of thing. But these are the things that she's going to remember. And we fail to remember, we fail sometimes to forget that what the inputs that we put into fatherhood, this is what our children are going to remember. I don't beat my children. It's something again that they will say that I've always said that I'm, you know, beating is for slaves and it was done for slaves. I do not believe in it. I don't believe in it. I don't subscribe to it. You'll never ever see me take a belt or a stick and beat my children. I don't have no reason. Once you raise the children well with the right fundamentals, they know how to conduct themselves. And all I have to say is that the behavior that you've just displayed, is it one that you were taught? And you do your, and they do their own introspection, and they recognize, no, this is foreign to our home. And that's where the techniques come in, where you give them that opportunity to look within themselves, and they recognize this is not a value that I was taught. It is something foreign. Why am I now going there?
Living that way.
You understand? So the presence is very important. The next one that we have on the list is be your child's prophet. But let's take this caller before we continue. A pleasant good morning to you, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Carlton. This is Diamond. I haven't called for a very long time.
Yes, that's true, Nurse.
You and your co-host. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, my dear. You know, I'm lying on the floor, very hot, fan on me, and I'm just listening to the entire program. It's very good, very interesting, and it has a lot of blessings for every mother. And who thought that still I'm going to children too? That he'll be able to help, you know, people in these situations, because it really takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how happy we may be at our home, no matter how comfortable we may be at our home, we need the help of the entire public. And it's when my child really died, I realized how important it is for a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my child was in fifth grade, he was 9 or 10. I think 9 years or 10 years. And he was in fifth grade. And they had they were going to send children from fifth grade up to sixth grade and seventh grade. And he worked so very hard. And the day when we went to the ceremony, the boy who got the most prize, about 7 prizes, was my son. Eh?
Mm.
And I stood up there, and me and my husband friend said, but where that child get that education from? Who is that child? I'm standing right here and I'm listening to him. And then after my son got the last prize, I think he got about 7 prizes. I was very proud. I've never felt proud like that in my life again, but God knows everything. And then when he ran from where they were giving the prize and he finished, he come up to my husband. And he said, Daddy, you are proud of me? My husband to answer, no? My husband said, he said, I'm not thinking he cried. I said, you should let him see you crying. Because crying is important. That will make him see the level of love that you have for him. But you read it up, you don't hide those things. You say that, you know, Carlton, in my line, it is good to tell children. Let
True.
Them see your emotions, let them see how you believe in them, let them see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he, as if he just couldn't, he just turned his back and started crying.
So that's said, true.
Daddy, you proud? Proud of me? Are you proud? We couldn't answer, you know. I said, really, I'm proud of you, darling. And then I tell him, my husband, don't do that again. You have to let a child know how you feel
mm-hmm.
at the moment. Don't leave it for when you go home or later. And I tell you, my nose was very big. That day, yeah, I was uglier. I'm only taking a joke. Eh?
Yes.
And then after the everything went on, that child went up to, they sent him up to seventh grade. And I remember one day he coming home, one morning he got up late for school, and I was going to eat him, I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't take with my mother, I'll give him a little slap, I mean, I vex, I vex. And he said, Mommy, don't hit us, don't hit me today, no, Mommy. I got a dream about Dominica. I said, what? He said, Mommy, I dream God tell me that Dominica is not, the people in Dominica need to repent. She's Catholic, and we're not living God's godly lives. And one of the things he wants us to stop is carnival. I said, we want it. I said, true. He said, yes. Then when he told me that, I discussed with my husband, we laugh about it, we talk about it. The child went to school, and the child went on the podium, and he told them that. And carnival had stopped for quite some time in Roseau, for the And then after that, when he got bigger, and so, you know, Carlton, he started saying, Mommy, I just want to go and check if you check my foot, Mommy. You know what? You know, you still, I forgot the dream too, and I didn't really pay him much interest to that. And then he went to carnival, and he started to get bigger. He was in what do you call that? When you, after you finish your elementary, you go up to college, at college. And when you think, kill him, Carlton, in carnival, he died.
I know, Nurse, but so, we have to.
I'm just saying, yes. Do not take children for granted.
Yes.
Do not take dreams for granted. I love your children.
Thank you.
And Carlton, I could do everything in the world to bring back my son.
I know that.
And I got no justice.
But
it is all right with my soul.
Definitely.
But it is hard to keep.
Thank you.
Parents, love your children. Children are gifts. Because I know my dear and beloved children. Have a nice day, Carlton. And your co-host. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes. So we were saying that the fourth pillar that he mentioned is being a prophet to your child. And what does a prophet does?
Teach the, you know,
they see beyond.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess, see beyond.
So they speak into the lives of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's basically saying is that we need to be the one to prophesy good things, be affirmative with our children, speak goodness into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't wait for the society, quote unquote, to preach into their lives or to deposit things into their lives. So that's one of the things I've always done. You know, you're wonderful. You are, you know, I say to my cousin all the time, smart girls rock, and I am smart, you know. These little affirmations, they help. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you depositing? What do you say to your child every day? And we know that many children are verbally abused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are told terrible things. They are swore, they are cursed, they you know, they are called all the ugly names. And at the end of the day, you wonder, why has the child outcome turned out that way?
Mm-hmm.
Why is the child this particular product? But again, is what you sow. What you sow into that child, what you spoke into the child's life, you know. They say that there's a statement that I normally see. I'm trying to remember it, but it's basically what you confess. If your confession brings manifestation, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
What you confess every day, it will be manifested. So confess and speak power into your children. Look at them. Let them know that they are wonderful. You know, that my daughter one day was asking me, and I refer to her a lot because she always chatted, you know, why her color of her skin was darker than mine, you know? And I said, you are wonderful. You are beautiful caramel chocolate. You are my chocolate. You understand? And I said, look at your skin. It's radiant. It's no different from mine. But she was looking at the pigmentation,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? And she may be, you know, somehow she was questioning if she's inferior to how I look, and I had to let her to sort of let her embrace the complexion of her skin, embrace it and feel comfortable with it. And these are things that we have to do as parents, you know, speak into our children's lives, speak positive, affirm them,
mm-hmm.
Develop them, make them recognize that they can achieve, they can become. You know, the aim is for your children to succeed you, to do better than you did,
right,
you know,
right,
and
right.
Not for you to be jealous of them,
mm-hmm.
and bring them down or to, you know, but to look at them proudly and motivate them. So be a motivator to your child.
Mm-hmm.
The last one is be a promoter. I'm telling you to go on, because I will never do that. Put my children's grades on Facebook and
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. But you promote your children. When you go out with them, you hug them. You can see that this is a unit. You can see that these children are loved. You can see that they have a foundation. And that's the promotion. It's not merely about advertising or bragging, that's it.
Yeah, but even in terms of, I think we have to be unapologetic in promoting, you know, each other. Yes, we're talking about parent child now, mm-hmm. but even in terms of loving relationships, one person mm-hmm. and a husband, wife, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Who is better to promote than the person who knows you the True. Best? You know what I mean? So I think in that regard of being a promoter, Carlton, and you said it too, if let's say your child is good at playing, right, some instrument or whatever it is, or good at poetry, or good at, you know, writes well or whatever. There's no harm in, you know, in a conversation, you saying, you know, my child can do that, you know, mm-hmm. you can count on my child to do a good job for you if you invite her to deliver this musical piece. So there's no harm. Who else should be the one to you know, talk of your ability and of what you can do, if not the person who knows you the best or loves you the most? You know what I mean? So I don't think we should be ashamed of saying, you know, my child can do this, or my child is good at this, or give my child the opportunity to do this. You know, I always say I want somebody to be able to say, you know, about me, oh, she can speak well, give her the chance to do this. Yeah, because that if the person loves you, is your parent or what, you know, who else now?
I like that.
Who else?
And that is so true. Sometimes we downplay our children.
Yes.
And we quench their talents and their skills.
Right. And in a kind of maybe sometimes you want to be super modest, or you don't have that type of confidence maybe in yourself, and so it kind of trickles down into low confidence in the child's ability. No. Mm-hmm. We have to try to overcome that. Be confident in the child. That is building the child's confidence. It's like before the child tries something, you cannot be saying, boy, she wouldn't do that properly, you know, or she will make a mistake. Mm-hmm. Or no, promote the person's ability and they will gain that strength, because without you promoting and they getting the chance, something won't be built, you know. So
and again, it lends to support. It really connects as well to being a promoter. You have to be present.
You have to be present for you to even know.
That's it. You have to be present.
Boy, because if you're not present, how you know what is the person's ability, not the child's ability? Yes. But if you're always there, you know, you hear the child singing in the bathroom and you're saying to yourself, boy, my child can sing, you know? So you present in the person's life, and then you have the ability to promote. It's true. I think those two, you know, one has to be there to the other, for the other to happen. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Judy, whilst we you know, we're getting ready to close shortly, you know, focus on fathers. And I know many pastors and priests and will be talking to fathers on Sunday, God's willing. We will be celebrating fathers. Fathers will have nice lunches, I hope. Nice lunches and domino games and card games, and, you know, might be taken for drives and maybe to fancy restaurants and all of that. And may have a little liquor or two. We want the fathers who are doing excellent, we want to continue to acclaim their goodness. Don't just take it for granted. You know your father. Your father is really in your life. He's done a lot for you. Truly go out and celebrate him. You have a husband who is a great father to the family, to the children. Celebrate him in great style. You as a mother, you have a son, and you recognize he's not been a good father to his children. Talk to him. Have a conversation with your son. Let him know, okay, not because your father may not have been there that you have to follow the same path. You can make that choice. You can, you know, if you need me to speak to the mother of the child because maybe you're feeling ashamed, I will talk to the mother of the child to kind of make the path a little more passable, that you can access the child, that you can have a conversation with the child. That is something that would be good as well, you know, because there is still hope that you can salvage, you can repair that relationship. So we want you to focus on that. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carlton.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day when it comes around on Sunday. Carlton, one of the things fathers need to put into practice when they're going to correct their children or scold their children about something, they must always, either before or after they do it, must always tell their children, I love you. Because some of the fathers doesn't know how to tell their children. They will tell it to their girls more, but they will not tell it to their boys. You know? They need to tell their sons, you know, I love you. Because a lot of men grow up and they don't have that kind of, you know, ways to tell, you know, their boys they love them. I have a story where a lady told me once, there was a guy who had a son, and the son was turning from childhood to manhood, and that woman told the father to talk to the child. You know, she observed certain, you know, things of him. He was wet in his bed, you know, and things like that. Not peeing, but, you know, ejaculating and, you know, what. And, you know, up to this day, that man hasn't spoken to that child. Up to this day, it's the mother that had to talk to the child about, you know, life and growing up and everything. So men need to have a little more close relationship, especially with their boys. That's why we have so many men outside there, you know, causing problems. The men need to pay a little attention more to their boys. I know men love their girls a lot. When they have their girls, they cherish them, they, you know. But the boys, they need to pay a little more attention to the boys. Good program.
Very good
point.
Great
program this month.
Very good point. And I like that, you know, showing affection.
Yes.
You know, it's not just knocking the boy's knuckle, you know, and thing, but and you're afraid to hug him. Because, again, too, these things are in, I don't want to say inheritory, because that would not be the right word. But these things are hand down.
Yeah.
You know, your father may not have been affectionate to you. You have to break the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same thing. My father wasn't affectionate to me.
Right.
But I make sure that this is something my children know. They feel, they know, they are affirmed that they are loved all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And not loved with conditions.
Yeah, unconditionally.
Unconditionally, because sometimes that's where the love is tested.
Mm-hmm.
When something comes up that may not be very conventional, or you may not be the most comfortable with, your love, that love now comes to the test.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be unconditional.
Mm-hmm. And I like the caller's point, Carlton, because it's a cultural thing. I think in our whole Caribbean culture, I think it exists in other cultures, but it's strong here. This idea of male machoism being about not showing any emotion, not showing affection, you know what I mean? So people kind of see...
You'll not kiss the boy.
Yes. So people kind of see showing affection and so on to the boy will make him a sissy. It will make him soft. And that is so untrue.
That is.
You know, we need to embrace this kind of developing the person's emotion, their emotional intelligence once again, and their ability to showcase emotion by showing emotion as the parent yourself, you know. So not being afraid as the father to embrace the child and to show that affection.
Because that boy will one day have a wife or a girlfriend. And may have a son too, and a daughter. And if you don't teach him emotions, how is he now going to teach his family emotions? How is he going to translate that? Because he never knew of it. And so that is why it's important that we have to show our children emotions, physical, psychological, spiritual. Pray for our children as well. Some of us, our children have never heard us pray. Never heard us utter a prayer, you know. So pray for your children. Can you imagine, you know, you praying with your child? You can hold your child's hand and pray with your child and bless your child. What this is actually saying about you, and it's actually going to translate into you becoming a better person, because what you're praying, you want to actually be what you're praying. You want to be the testimony of what you're declaring, and the very same thing is applicable. So it is going to impact both the child and even yourself. So as we we'll be celebrating Father's Day this weekend. We truly want to wish every father a happy Father's Day. Be the best that you can be whilst you have the opportunity, and that is that word there, whilst you have the opportunity, because it can be taken at any time, it can be altered. So while you have breath, and while you can speak, you speak into the life of your child. Whilst you have arms that are available, you hug your child. While you have hands, you give to your child. While you have your feet, you walk with your child. And while you have a heart, you share and give to your child. So we wish every father a happy Father's Day.
Yes.
On Sunday, those of you who may have one or two, don't make it 10 and 12, right? Be of control, be of control. Some of us, when we get out of control, we become disorderly, and we don't want to be that person sometimes that we are embarrassed about later down when we become sober. So be mindful of that, of the, you know, the abuse of alcohol. And remember too that alcohol is not symbolic to fatherhood.
To fatherhood or manhood.
Or manhood.
Yeah.
It is not symbolic. And so we want fathers to get beautiful gifts.
Yeah.
Give that father a nice massage. Right? My wife offers them, by the way. Give that father a pedicure. You know, who say fathers, you know, cannot get nice pedicure and their feet cannot look fresh and clean and stuff. So you can call me and I'll give you that number where you can make that appointment. You can they can get the massage, they can get, you know, a pedicure. The father might like wallets, he might like
nice shirts,
nice sunglasses, right? You can get a sunglasses, you can get a nice shirt, you can get a nice tie.
Perfume, that's your favorite.
Of course, you can get a good perfume at Jolly's Pharmacy.
Of course.
Yes, you can get a good belt. You know, you recognize his belt peeling, you can get a good belt for him. You can get him a fruit basket. He might like a caps, he might like sneakers. You know, some men like, you know, those sporty caps. You know, he might like, you know, whatever he likes that looks like him, you can treat him. You might find, you know, that he doesn't even have socks. Get him some nice pairs of socks, you know, and worship together. Tell daddy, you know, let's go to church this Sunday or Saturday, whatever day that you choose, and then take him for lunch or cook a nice meal for him. And so, yes.
Cousin, and to the ladies, don't be afraid, you know, on Father's Day and all the time to showcase these good fathers that are out there to congratulate them, to celebrate them the same way we're putting up all these pictures and statuses of mothers. On Father's Day, we want to see those men shine, you know?
That's
so
it.
Don't be afraid to celebrate the men, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Happy Father's Day to all fathers out there. Go out, and as always, your health is indeed your greatest resource. Preserve it. Have a good morning, everybody, and pleasant remainder of the week. We're signing off. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With health vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lango, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Christian. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in.